We're looking today at God's call. After God calls, there's a choice. And then God has a purpose through all of it, and that's coming at you now.
God's Resistance.
Well, thank you for tuning in this morning to God's Resistance. We are grateful to have you with us. We're continuing our look through Romans. We are in Romans chapter 9 here this morning, and I believe we're going to get to the first 16 verses. And so we are going to start here. First, before we start, I just want to say that this chapter has been kind of a place of controversy for years throughout the Christian church. Some would say that this chapter is speaking about God choosing some to heaven and some to go to hell, and there's nothing we can do about it, and uses the whole scenario with Pharaoh to prove their point. However, we want to show you what we believe the scripture speaks about very plainly here. So we are going to look here at Romans 9. 1, he says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. So here we find Paul is saying, now I want to get on the level with you. Now I want to tell you what is inside of my heart, in the deepest places of my heart. And these aren't just a bunch of words that make me sound holier than everyone else. He said, this is the deep-seated affection and desire of my heart. And he says it in a way that God knows. The Holy Ghost witnesses in my heart that what I'm saying is absolutely true. He bears witness in my spirit that I'm saying these words and I mean it. If I could do this, this is what I would do. And so we find Paul now bearing his heart to us concerning the people, the Jews, the Israelites, who he identifies himself with. In verse 2, he says, here's what the Holy Ghost bears witness with me, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. So God had saved Paul, changed him from a Pharisee of the Pharisees. That was his own admission. And now he says, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow of heart. This is something that is near and dear to his heart, something that he is longing for, something that he prays about often, a burden that seems to have not been lifted. This is Paul's heart, and Paul is sharing this with us. And he said, it's great heaviness and continual sorrow of heart. Maybe you, dear listener, have had something of that in your own life. There's something of a sorrow of heart. There's something that bears a weight that is heavy upon you, and it seems to be a continual thing. I do want to tell you that if God gives you that kind of a burden, this burden can be carried if Jesus is yoking up with you. So it is a burden that is a, as he said, great heaviness and continual sorrow of heart, but it's not an impossible burden to carry because Jesus said, I will carry this burden with you. Take my yoke upon you, for I'm meek and lowly of heart. And he said, it is an easy burden. You're going to find rest to your soul. We can carry the burden if Jesus is yoked up next to us. And this is a burden that he's had for years and years and years and doesn't go away because the burden has not been fixed. And he says in verse 3, I could wish, he said, for, the reason I'm carrying this burden is for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. These are strong words. Paul says, if it were possible, I would go to hell if it meant that it would save my fellow Israelites who are at this point are hardened in heart and do not want this Jesus, this Messiah. He said, if me going to hell would free them, I could wish that to take place for myself. Listen to that. I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. I can understand having that deep burden. I in no way would want to go to hell though. And notice that he said, for I could wish that myself were a curse from Christ for my brethren. But Paul realizes that what Jesus did on the cross is enough, that wouldn't do any good. But he's saying that is how deep my pain and sorrow is, that if I could go to hell and that would save them, I would do it. Now, I can't say that I have experienced that depth of burden before because I would never want to go to hell. And even if it meant that to save others. Now, notice that Jesus went down to the depth. He went into Hades, death, and he had the keys of that thing and of death and hell. And he brought up those out of there, preached unto the souls that were in prison, we read about in one of Peter's epistles here. So Jesus did this very thing. And Paul said, I would follow Jesus that same route if it meant that these men would be saved, that my countrymen, my Israelites would be saved. May God help us that we would carry the right burden. I don't want to take that burden away from Christ. But there's something here where I believe Paul entered the sufferings of Jesus Christ, saying, I could wish myself a curse for the same reason that my kinsmen according to the flesh. And he says, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. So he tells us these are the Israelites, these Israelites. And he tells us here that this messianic kingdom that was promised to the Israelites, we read here, it says, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. This is saying that God had always from the beginning wanted the Israelites to be the people that were prepared people ready for the Messiah to come, so that when he came, all these things were fulfilled and they received it with joy. But the problem is they didn't. And he says, my Israelite people, excuse me, this pertains, the adoption pertained to them. The glory, the adoption, meaning that they were God's people. They were God's children. They were pulled into this special messianic kingdom. That was supposed to be the point. The adoption pertains to them. The whole glory of this messianic kingdom, that was for them. They were taught it through types and laws and all these other things. That was for them. This was originally for them. They were the containers to bring this to the whole world. He says, and the covenants. So now they received the covenants back in the Old Testament. We see the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God. This was all revealed to the Israelites. The entire world was kind of in a darkness, and the Israelites were the ones that had the container. They were to bring this truth to everybody. He said this was all pertaining to them, and even the promises, those promises that we find inside of the Old Testament that were of the messianic kingdom, that there's one, Moses said, come, that is like unto me, coming after me, that you should listen to him. He's kind of like a prophet, but much more than a prophet. And that we realize through the book of Isaiah, so many prophecies concerning the Messiah and his triumph. And he said, this was all for them. This was all for them. Now, can you see the pathos of Paul? He now is benefiting from this messianic kingdom. He has now entered into the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. And he's saying, this was all for them. And they're rejecting it. This is why I feel so heavy and with continual sorrow. It's because this was for them. It pertained to them. And the promise is they should be receiving this with joy, but they're not. And then we move on to verse 5 here. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. I believe that what he's talking about with the fathers here is the patriarchs. Those ones that were the shining examples that seem to have pierced through just a form and Levitical law, ceremonial law, the law of Moses. They pierced through that and saw something of the Messiah and something of his kingdom and something of his salvation. Even though it was dark, they pierced through that. And he said, this was pertaining even unto the fathers. Whose are the fathers? The promises were the fathers, the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, and of whom is concerning the flesh, Christ came. He came for those Israelites. Who is over all? Christ is over all. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And he says, he's God blessed forever. Amen. This is that Christ that the Israelites should have received, but they have rejected. This is why he has such a continual sorrow. But he also realizes that there is a larger plan besides what he sees right now with the Jews rejecting Christ. And we move on here to verse 6. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Now, this is not an easy thing in our day for people to receive. There's so many arguments back and forth about Israel's place and God's plan and all that, and I'm not trying to get into it. Simply to say here, he says, does it look like God's word has taken no effect? The covenant, the promises, the glory was all given to them back there, and now they've rejected this Messiah, which all this glory, covenants, and promises were leading to? Is God's word of none effect? He said, but it's not as though the word of God is to none effect. Why? For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. So here we find the idea of an earthly Israel and then a true Israel. What does all this mean? Well, we just keep reading. He said, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So he's saying, simply because they came from the lineage of Abraham, they were Abraham's children by blood, by race. He said, that doesn't mean that they are God's children, that they are the true Israel of God. that doesn't mean that they are that simply because they can trace their blood back to Abraham. But he said there's something different. Remember, a promise was made to Abraham in his old age. He said, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And we find that when we go back into the Old Testament, there were those that were the children of the promise that saw beyond just the law of Moses, the ceremonial law, all those things that they had seen there. They saw into the heart of the matter. They saw this Messiah even darkly. They had a faith in him before he ever came. And he said, these are the true children of God. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. So in Isaac, Christ was called. But then Christ has many children, and we are his children. We have been adopted. We have now come in aliens to the commonwealth of God. We are now no longer aliens and foreigners, but we are fellow heirs with this promise that was to the Jews back then, which was God's plan all along, was to bring in all the nations, and the Jews were the container. They were supposed to be preaching this revelation and showing this to the nations, but they kept it to themselves, and it consumed them, chewed them up, and spit them out, and they were rejecting God in the whole process because they rejected what God's original point was. They wanted to be God's special pet instead of realizing God gave them a special privilege. So then we move on here to verse 8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. And this is just what I was saying before. The children of the promise, those that believed like Abraham, those were the actual children. Those were the actual Israelites. Those that were just by lineage, just by blood, they weren't just bought into it simply because. And we see that in our present day as well. Sometimes people try to hang on to the coattails of perhaps their well-known preacher ancestor or something like that. I'm you know, Charles Finney's descendant. I'm D.L. Moody's descendant. And even now, my father is the bishop of so-and-so and the elder of this and that and the other. Well, that does nothing if you've not come to Jesus Christ through repentance and faith and become the true Israel of God, become the promised seed because you had faith like Abraham and have believed and have now been born again. That is what counts you as adopted. That is what counts you now into the commonwealth of Israel, is that the true Israel of God, those that believe on this Messiah and have been saved. For this is the word of promise. Verse 9, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. So he's referring back to the time of promise. Remember, we realize Sarah's body was as good as dead, the scripture tells us. And at this point, he's saying this had to be a promise of God because there was nothing that they could do in their own fleshly strength to make this happen. This was promise that was given. And he says in verse 10, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. So now the promise is going on from generation to generation. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done good, any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. So here we're talking about Rebekah's children, those that were inside of her womb. And he's saying they hadn't done any good or any evil. Now, what is being spoken of here? Some people say this is some were predestined to heaven, some predestined to hell, but that's not the point. The point here is that they had a specific purpose in God's plan of redemption, and God had chosen Jacob over Esau to then have the 12 tribes of Israel come through and the Messiah eventually coming through his line. This, before they had done any good or evil, God chose Jacob for that reason and for that purpose. Why? We really don't understand and know why, but that was God's way because he stepped outside of the bounds of the privilege of the firstborn. It should have been to Esau, but God chose beforehand Jacob for this to be happening. And when we read in verse 13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated, it is referencing Malachi chapter 1, 2 through 3. And it's talking about the whole nation of which these men were fathers. So Esau, the Edomites, and Jacob, the Israelites. It's talking about nations, not people. And he's saying he chose to bless the Israelites as that container. This is what's going on in this scripture. So then we go down to verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Is God unrighteous because he chose these certain people over others to be the container? Shouldn't he have chose the whole world to be the container? Well, God's got to choose vessels to have his purpose accomplished, and he chose the Israelites to do this very thing. So God's not unrighteous in doing it. He had to choose some people in some way in order to get this revelation of the gospel throughout the entire world, and he chose Jacob and his descendants, the Israelites and the Jews, to bring this out to all nations. Then we read, for he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So God will show mercy on certain individuals for certain tasks for a certain time to bring the gospel to the nations. And we have seen it all throughout history where God has raised up men and women to be vessels to bring the gospel to darkened nations and places. Throughout all of time, God has done this thing. And it's not because these people are special in and of themselves. It was because rather, there was something that God had a plan for a certain time for the bounds of their habitation to bring the gospel to the nations around. And God is still doing that same thing now, choosing us for a purpose, but it's up to us whether or not we'll follow. Your next step is to call 570-362-7782. I'd love to talk with you over the phone. If you're local, I'd love to get a coffee with you. Every Thursday at 5:30 p.m., we have a street meeting in the Wilkes-Barre Public Square, and then 6:30 following, Bible study at Abide Coffee Shop. And then every Sunday at 4 p.m., we have another street meeting. You are invited to all these things, and we'd love to see you there.